Are you feeling overwhelmed? Bombarded by never-ending demands, bombarded by responsibilities, bombarded by deadlines. You got deadlines to meet. You've got bills that's due, bills that have to be paid. You've got health issues. You're running back and forth to the doctor. The kids need your attention. Everything, everybody's screaming at you at one time. Do you feel like it seems like everything, everybody's saying, I need you, I need you, I need you. You're always thinking about what needs to be done. You're thinking about, okay, who did I forget to call? What did I forget to do? Where do I have to be? When does this need to be completed? It's just one never-ending to-do list. Have you ever felt like this? Have you ever felt like by the time night comes, you're exhausted? Your body's exhausted, but you lay down and your brain won't go to sleep. Anybody ever felt like that? It's like thoughts are just swirling around in your mind, and all of a sudden your heart starts pumping, your heart starts racing with thoughts of anxiety. Has anybody ever experienced what I've just talked about? Or maybe you're experiencing that right now. I think that's probably 100% of us. All right, I'm starting a new series today. And the name of this series for the next few weeks, it's called Rest. R-E-S-T. Rest. I'm going to be talking. I've been studying some scriptures and just refreshing myself in the Lord. I'm going to be talking about de-stressing our lives, breaking free from worries, breaking free from anxiety, breaking free, how to find rest for our souls, rest for our souls. I think this could probably be like the most relevant series I've ever preached. Rest. I think we're living in probably the most stressful time in history. I mean, society's stressed out, isn't it? Huh? Are y'all not stressed? Or y'all must be good. Then I'll preach to myself today, okay? I'll preach to myself. I mean, it's stressful going to town. It's stressful driving down the highway. Cars honking the horn. I mean, everybody's got it. People are dumb, man. People are dumb. I'm telling you. Maybe, I don't know if this is preaching or venting. But what is it about the person that's right on your tail that's honking the horn because you're going the speed limit? And then they pass you, they get in front of you, and then they're still stuck behind the car in front of them. That's dumb. I'm going to get there just as quick as them. That's just how. But society is stressed out. It's like, the news is stressful. Everything's stressful. Politics is stressful. I mean, people's lost their minds. I'm telling you, I got an opinion call yesterday wanting to, do you approve of this? Do you approve of this? I was half asleep, so I didn't. Do you approve of so-and-so? Do you disapprove of so-and-so? I will tell you this. They asked, do you approve or disapprove of Congress? Disapprove! That's probably everybody's response right now. But we're just living in this, in a stressful society. Society's an emotional basket case. We're living in an age of sensory overload. Don't judge me, but I do preach with an iPad. I know it's not, but we've got iPads, we've got iPhones, we've got. I mean, there's always a ding. There's always a. There's always a do 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 do. You know, there's always this. There's always a text message. I mean, you can't even go 5 minutes, even in church. All right, now let me hit this right now. Every Sunday it's like I wait for a ding to go off, or I wait for a phone to ring. And so what's funny is it's usually at the end of the service when I'm getting ready to pray. So I'll give you permission right now. If you got a phone that needs to ring, go ahead and let it ring right now. Get it over with right now. Few weeks back, by the way, if this was you, I'm just laughing at it. I'm not judging you. I'm not even frustrated about it. I thought it was funny, but you might remember this. It was probably 6 months ago, and it was right after worship, And I was out here, and I was like, let's just stop. Let's just listen and bask in the presence of the Lord. The next thing I know, somebody's ringtone goes, just take those old records off the shelf. Y'all remember that? Now, if that was you, that's cool. That was funny, okay? That was funny. But it literally is like this. And it's and I said, just listen. Just take those old records off the shelf. So that was funny, okay, so. But it's... I feel like God's just saying, hit the snooze button. Hit the pause button. Just pause. Just stop. Relax. Inhale. I'm not doing yoga this morning, but this is biblical stuff right here. You know, just breathe. Just breathe. Just listen to the birds. Listen to the birds. Listen to the waves. Listen to the wind. Listen, and here's something we need to listen to. Listen to silence. Listen to silence. Listen to silence. But most importantly, listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Well, why can't I hear from God? I'm trying to hear the voice of the Lord. Well, the reason maybe you're not hearing the voice of the Lord is because you're not putting stuff away. You're not getting silent. You're not getting still to hear the voice of God. And we need to also listen to the Word of God. And so I'm preaching this series on rest. There's plenty of New Age movements. Now if you've been coming to this church, you know I'm a gospel preacher. I'm a word preacher. I'm not into New Age philosophies. I'm consider myself a young adult still. But I'm old school when it comes to my Holy Ghost fire preaching. Okay, so you know that. So I'm not preaching a watered down message, a New Age philosophy where it's all feel good, everything's. But we do need to stop. We do need to rest. There is power in thinking positive. Power in that. There is power in being joyful. Like Lindsay said, the joy of the Lord, your strength. So these are just little life lessons. But here's the main thing, because there's so many of these New Age movements that's out there, these New Age philosophy, and here's what they'll teach. They'll teach that if you declutter your surroundings, if you declutter what's on the outside, simplify what's going on the outside, and that's when you'll find peace on the inside. But see, what I'm preaching is the exact opposite. I'm preaching that to find peace on the outside, you got to find peace on the inside. It's from the inside out that my soul cries out. It's not about when you find outer peace, that's when you'll get inner peace. It's when you find the inner peace of the Lord, the rest for your soul, that's when you'll find outer peace. When you receive the rest, peace, the joy in your soul, that's when you'll be able to face the craziness and the stresses of society with the peace of God on my life, the peace of God that passes all understanding. How many of you want peace on the inside? Peace. We need peace and joy and rest on the inside. My theme verse for this message today, Psalms 46, verse 10. And I'm going to use, normally I preach out of the New King James Version, but I'm using a couple different translations that really expands this. I'm going to use the Amplified. This is in your notes. The Amplified Version, Psalms 46, 10, says, let be and be still and know, recognize and understand that I am God. I like that. Let be and be still and know that I am God. Ray, what is let be? Let be. Let be. What is let be? Let be means let go. That's what that means. Let go. Let go. And I'm preaching today, let go, be still and know. Let go. Let go. Nobody said it better than Elsa from Frozen. Let it go. Let it go. Come on, y'all can sing. Don't hold it back anymore. You all know this. Let it go. What's it? Something about the slamming door? Slamming door.
All right, all right, all right.
So that's, say this. Say, let go, be still, and know. Say that. Let go, be still, and know. That's a good biblical formula right there for finding the rest of the Lord. In the Passion Translation, it says, for that same verse, it says, surrender your anxiety. I like that. Surrender your anxiety. Be silent. Be silent. Be silent. And look at this. Stop your striving, and you will see that I am God. Surrender your anxiety, or surrender your worries. Surrender your stress. Surrender all your anxieties, your fears. And then it says, be silent and stop striving. What does that mean? Stop striving. But I still have stuff I've got to do. That's stop laboring in your own strength. So surrender, be silent, stop your striving. Another verse that goes along with this, and this is also in your notes. I'm just going to give you some verses that you can start confessing and claiming this week. It's 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting the whole of your care, casting all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him. And then it says, for He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. This is not in your notes, but I thought about this verse right before I came out here to preach. Write this down. Write Psalms 55, verse 22. And look at it in the Amplified Bible. It's not even on the notes, but you can use your Bible app. But the Amplified Bible says this: cast your burden on the Lord. And that's just like 1 Peter 5 says. Release it. And then it says, and He will sustain you. I like that. And He will sustain you and uphold you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Say, I'm the righteousness of God. You're right. Look, remember we did a whole series about the gospel and righteousness. So if you're a born again child of God, you're righteous. You're right. Righteousness is not right doing. Righteousness is right standing. So you can claim this verse over your life. I'm going to cast my burden on the Lord. God, I thank you that you're going to sustain me. You're going to uphold me. You're never going to allow me to be shaken. You're never going to allow me to trip up and slip and fall, because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's a good message. Come on, somebody. That's a good message. Aren't you glad that the Father will sustain you? And He won't let you slip.
That's right.
Because you're in Christ Jesus. All right, so number one, defining rest. My 3 points basically today are let go, be still, and know. But I got a little add-ons to them. So number one, let go of your cares. Give them to God. Give them to God. That you're filling the blank. And I know this seems simple on the surface. It seems simple. Oh, that's an easy formula. Give your cares to God. Release your cares to God. It seems simple, but it's hard sometimes, isn't it? It's hard for us humanoids to let go. Why is it so hard for us to release our cares to the Lord? Why is it so hard for us to let go of our worries and anxiety? Why do we feel like we have to hold on to our cares and our concerns and our anxieties and stresses? Why? Could it be that one of the reasons is that we just don't understand how much God cares for us? Could that be one of the reasons? We sing about the love of God. We sing about the care of God. But do we really know how much God cares for us? It says He affectionately cares for us. He cares for us at the end. It says in 1 Peter 5:7, about you watchfully. That means His eye is always on you. You're never out of His eyesight. And I just think if we really got the revelation of how much God cares for us, I think we'd let go of more of our problems and more of our stresses. If we really understood that God cares more about us, cares more about our well-being than what we do. Isn't that something? God cares more about you than you care about yourself. God is more concerned about you than you are about yourself. And if we could just understand that God cares for me affectionately and watchfully, I think we'd be more inclined to release our worries and our cares and our stresses to the Lord. Another reason that we might hold on to our worries, stresses, cares, anxieties, maybe it's because we think that we're being irresponsible if we let go. If we stop worrying, if we stop stressing, maybe we feel like, you know what, you almost feel guilty. See, we've been raised to think in society that it's our job to fix everything. That's saying, if it's to be, it's up to me. We're ingrained in this hard-working society that if I'm going to make it, I got to do it. I've got to fix it. If I let go, if I wash my hands and release the care and the stress, then that means it's showing that I don't care. It means I'm not engaged. Nothing will happen unless I hold on. The job won't get done. The situation won't get fixed. I've got to stay engaged. Therefore, it's my responsibility to lay awake at night and think and resolve and plan and calculate how to do this, how to get this done, and how to make all this and that happen. Now listen to me. I'm not talking about letting go of responsibility. We all have responsibility. I'm a worker. I'm a doer. I'm a planner. But I'm talking about this morning about letting go of cares, worries, stresses, anxieties. We're the only creatures, and I call us creatures, on planet Earth that wears stress like it's a badge of honor. It's almost like some people are so, it's like, unless it's chaotic is normal for them. Unless life is chaotic and crazy and stressful, that's not normal. It's some people are so wired, if there was calm and peace, they would be stressed out over calm and peace. You know what I'm talking about. So it's like we're impressing people when we show how busy we are. Oh, that means I'm important. That means I'm famous. That means I've got a lot. Oh, I've got to run around with a chicken, like a chicken with my head cut off. That means I care. If I, whew, man, how you doing? Oh, I'm stressed. Oh, maybe they'll think, man, I'm important. I'm busy. Oh. But wearing your stress doesn't show you really care. It shows your lack of faith. Wearing your stress doesn't reveal that you're fully engaged. Wearing your stress and worries and anxieties on your shoulder reveals that you're not allowing God to be fully engaged in your life. Doesn't mean you're engaged. It means you've shut out God from being fully engaged. So the most powerful thing that we can do is to release our worries, our cares, our stress, anxiety to the hands of God. Because what that means, when we let go and when we get to the place that we surrender it all to God, what we're then saying is we're saying, I can't, but you can. It's not about my ability, it's about your ability. I'm releasing the weight of my cares on God. See, that's faith. That's true faith when we can say, I'm not letting go of my responsibility, but God, I'm releasing all the stress that comes with that responsibility to you because you can handle this situation a lot better than what I can handle it. And God will download that wisdom, and God will give you that strength and give you that inspiration to do what needs to be done. Besides, what does it really accomplish when you stress out, worry, and lay awake at night? Has any of your circumstance ever changed for the better? Has anything ever got better by staying stressed out and worried and full of care? Full of anxiety. Not one circumstance in the history of civilization has ever changed by us staying up at night, worrying, stressing, freaking out. Not one. Then again, I shouldn't confess all this stuff on our lives, but we are dumb sometimes, aren't we? Luke, listen to this. Luke 12:25. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus says, does worry add anything to your life? Jesus is talking to the stressed out disciples. He's talking to on the Sermon on the Mount. He's talking to the multitudes of stressed out, worried, freaking out people. These are Jewish people that have been striving and striving and striving to get good enough to enter into heaven. So they're worried and stressful. Oh no, I had a bad thought. Oh, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to go to hell. You know, and Jesus, does worry accomplish anything? And then he says, can worry add one more year to your life? Can worry add one more day to your life? Jesus is saying, stop worrying. Stop stressing. It's not going to change the situation. He's saying worry and stress doesn't give you better quality of life, nor does it give you better quantity, more quantity of life. In fact, worry and stress makes things worse. Worry and stress causes health issues. All you nurses and doctors, you know this. According to clinical research, chronic stress, and I copied and pasted this, causes anxiety disorders, depression, digestive problems, cardiovascular disease, high blood pressure, sleep problems, weight gain, memory impairment. In other words, stress kills. This isn't just Holy Ghost inspired. This is inspired from doctors and tests. And stress kills. Why are we holding on to stuff that's killing us? We need to let go of our cares, worries. Give them to God. When you wake up in the morning, I've started this. Say, God, I know that you care for me. I know that you love me. This morning, I'm releasing my cares. I'm releasing my worries. I'm releasing my anxieties to you. I thank you, God. You're going to sustain me for this day. You're going to uphold me for this day. You're going to cause my feet to be strong. I'm not going to slip because I trust in you. What, make that your daily confession. 1 Peter 5. Make that your confession when you wake up, before you head out in the mornings, before you drive off to a busy day at work. So number one, let go of your cares. Give them to God. Number two, be still. Be still. But here's the kicker here. Receive the supply of God. Be still. Receive the supply of God. There's a powerful picture in Exodus chapter 16 about being still and receiving the supply of God. Remember the story about the children of Israel who were released out of Egyptian captivity. They're wandering in the wilderness. And all of a sudden they start complaining and stressing and worrying. We're hungry. What are we going to do about food? So God says, you know what? I'm going to rain down manna from heaven every single morning. I'm going to supply you. I'm going to give you you're going to be fully sustained. I'm going to give you a fresh supply every single morning. But here's the command. Here's the command. You only get what you need for the day. You can't worry. You can't stress. Be still. Know that I'm God. You get what you need. Don't worry about collecting extra for tomorrow. I'm going to supply for tomorrow. So look what it says, and I want to read this. It says Exodus 16, verse 18 through 20, it says, but when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over. Those who gathered only a little had enough. Each family had just what it needed. Verse 19, then Moses told them, do not keep any of it until morning. You get just what you need just today. Don't even think about tomorrow. And then in verse 20, it says, but some of them didn't listen and kept some of it until morning. But by then, it was full of maggots. It rotted. There was a terrible smell. And Moses was very angry. So the ones who didn't worry, the ones who didn't stress and freak out, what are we going to do? They always had a supply. Every single morning, they were fully taken care of. But the ones who stressed, the ones who worried, the ones who doubted and were like, oh no, I don't have enough food. What are we going to do to feed? I got 10 kids. Johnny, go get extra. Go get extra. Not Johnny. I looked back and I saw Johnny sitting back there. Billy, get, or Methuselah, get extra. And what happened? Maggots, infestation, and it rotted. See, here's the deal. Worry and anxiety over not having enough manna actually stopped the supply. It stopped the flow of manna. The problem wasn't on the supply end. The problem was on the receiving end. It wasn't God. It wasn't God that caused the manna to stop. They quit trusting in God. They started worrying and freaking out and trusting in themselves. And it was their doubt, their worry, their stress, their unbelief that hindered and constricted the supply of manna to fully meet their needs. The same, this is a great little lesson, because the same is true for us. When we worry, it's not that. See, a lot of times we'll blame God. We'll blame God. God, why aren't you supplying for me? God, why aren't you? The problem's not with God. Heaven hadn't run out of manna. Heaven hadn't run out of the supply. The problem is our doubt, our unbelief, our worry, our stress, our lack of trust in God. We're the ones restricting the flow to our lives. When they rested, when they trusted, when they received, they received. So you have to receive the supply by faith. I receive the supply. I'm going to be still. I'm going to rest. I'm going to trust. And I receive by faith your supply. Do you know that begging, crying, pleading, that doesn't make God give you the supply? Squalling, carrying on, oh God, that God, you're hindering the supply because of a lack of faith. What's the supply? Here's what I'm getting. Because I'm not just talking about monetary supply. I'm not just talking about God providing your physical need or God providing your financial needs. What's the supply that the manna, what was the manna ultimately pointing to? What's the ultimate supply? Because in John chapter 6, here's what it all revolves around. In John chapter 6, Jesus gives them a lesson about the manna. And Jesus is telling the people, he's saying that manna, that Moses, that was sent to Moses, it was prophetically pointing to me. I'm the manna. John 6:35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I'm the bread. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. What's the supply? Jesus is the supply. Jesus is the supply. Jesus is enough. Jesus is who meets our need. Jesus is always enough for whatever situation we're facing. Think about this. When Jesus died on the cross, the supply for your healing was given. That's the supply. For by his stripes, we were healed. It's past tense. The supply for your blessing was given at the cross. Because in Ephesians chapter 1, I think it's verse 3, it says that he's already blessed us. with all spiritual blessing. The supply for your provision, the supply for your provision was already made. See, Jesus is the source. Jesus is the supply. The supply for your home was already given at Calvary. He said the supply for the well-being of your kids was already provided at Calvary. He said your kids will be strong as olive branches. He said, blessed shall be your children. Great and prosperous shall be your, this is in Isaiah, shall be your kids. Everything that we need or will ever need, Jesus supplied at Calvary. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 says, my grace is always more than enough. His grace, his favor has already been supplied. So what am I saying in regards to the supply? I said that this point is be still and receive the supply. The fact is, listen to this. God's not going to supply you with everything you need. He's already supplied you with everything you need. Your job is to be still and receive what he's already supplied. He paid it all. He finished it all. He doesn't have to go back to Calvary. Oops, I forgot a supply. I forgot the supply to provide for the financial needs. I forgot the supply. Oh no, I forgot the supply to handle your situation. No, he already supplied it. We receive by grace through faith. Jesus is the supply. All of the grace, all of the favor that you'll ever need. Oh no, I sinned my way out. I've sinned my way out of salvation. No, you receive the forgiveness and the righteousness of God. We've got to stop hindering the supply. We got to stop hindering the flow of grace and provision by doubting and worrying and striving and just say, I believe, I receive. Number three, my last point. He says, let go, be still. And then it says, to know and recognize that I'm God. Number three, this is a deep one. Know that God is God. Ray, I know that God is God. Ray, I know God. Do you really know God? Do you know of God? Do you know God as some distant mythological creature way up somewhere that's just got his finger on the globe, ready to just squash it, ready to just do this and like little ants? Or do you really know that God is willing and God is able to handle all your situations? Do we really believe that? Maybe you know that God is able, but do you really believe that God is willing to handle my situation? All of my mess? Do we really believe that he's willing? I found it interesting that this name, God, if you look, there's certain, many names of God in the Hebrew Bible. But the name of God that's used here, that the psalmist used, is the name Elohim. Elohim. And the name Elohim means the Almighty, all-powerful God, the infinite God, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Supreme God. And Elohim is saying, I'm all-powerful, I'm the Creator, I'm the Sustainer, I'm the infinite, supreme God. Now give me your worries, give me your cares, give me your stresses. I think I can handle it. I mean, it's almost like God is like, I think I can handle this. I created the heavens and the earth. I created Mars and Jupiter and the billions and the look, this is our galaxy right here. Earth, Mars, Venus, and all the rest. And all of this is everything else. I think God can handle our little stresses about being $200 behind on a bill. Our little stresses about getting and I know it's big to us, but getting a bad report from the doctor. I think God can handle that. By the way, I'm talking about handling the cares and stresses. You know, I was away a couple weeks. My dad went through surgery, and I think it's awesome. What time is it? 11:20. He's getting ready to get up and preach right now. Isn't that awesome? Let go. Let go. And know that I am God. You know, here's something else that's interesting. The name Elohim, it's a plural proper noun. It's plural. It's plural. So if we was to read this in English, here's how it would say. It would say, be still and know that I am God's, plural. So Ray, does that mean there's multiple gods? Does that mean there's more than one God? No, it validates the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It validates three in one, one in three. Be still and know that I am Elohim. In this context, could mean like this. Be still and know that I am Father. Be still that I and know that I'm a heavenly Father who cares for you and loves you. I'm all powerful. I'll handle whatever care, whatever situation, because I'm your daddy Father. I'm your daddy God. Be still and know that I am Jesus. I'm God in flesh. I came to die upon the old rugged cross for you. I came to bring you the supply of provision, to bring you the supply of grace. Be still and know that I am the Holy Spirit. I'm the comforter. I'm your advocate. I'm your strengthener. I'm your standby. Know that I'm the one who's going to come and invade your life and fill you with my power and my glory and my presence and cause you to do extraordinary things. Be still and know that I am Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all wrapped up in Elohim. Elohim, we serve a big God. We serve a majestic, inconceivable God. And that God is saying, let go. Be still and get to know me a little bit. Just get to know me a little bit. Yeah. Sit around the coffee table with me in the morning. How about coming to my table? Pull out my word. Talk to me. Unload on me. I like that because sometimes we as people, when people try to dump and unload, it's like, whoa. But see, the good thing about God is God wants you to unload on Him. Just let it. I mean, dump it all on Him. Get to know me. I heard of a story, a true story. There was this Christian college student, and he was stressed out because he felt the call of God on his life, and he wanted to become a pastor and a preacher, and he went to a Bible school, and he didn't have the money. He didn't have the money to pay. It was literally like one day at a time. He was going to class. He was working, but he was stressed that he wasn't going to have enough money to pay for his education. And so the professor said on one of his classes, he said, class, let God handle everything. Let God handle. Let God handle your circumstances. Let God take care of everything. And that inspired this young college student. And so he went back to his dorm and he took out 6 postcards. And he's like, okay, I'm going to, like Habakkuk says, write the vision down. And he's going to take 6 postcards and he's going to write LETGOD. He's writing them on postcards. He's putting them on the wall. But what happened is weeks went by and nothing seemed to happen. The the supply wasn't coming in. He was worried. He literally was thinking, man, I'm going to drop out of Bible college. And he was praying, God, why aren't things changing? I'm letting God show me. And that Bible college student, he said about that time the dorm window was up and the wind blew in and knocked that one of the postcards off the wall. And it was a postcard with the letter D on it. So now it said, let go. And it was like the Holy Spirit came to him and said, the reason you're not getting the supply is because you're not letting go. It's more than just letting God. It's letting go. Releasing and letting God. That's my message today. That's as we start this journey on just finding the rest and the peace of God, that we would be still, that we would know that God is God, this might be one of the biggest points, and just receive the supply that was already made. Just receive it. Victory was already provided for you. You got to receive it. You don't have to strive to be victorious. You're already victorious. Just receive it. I was talking to somebody this week, and I was saying, "You, every single one of us has long to-do lists. Every single one of us have reasons to be anxious and stressed and worried. The fact of the matter is, some have received the supply, some have not received the supply. You want to get on this side and walk in the rest of God, we're going to receive the supply of victory. Receive the supply of strength. For when I'm weak, that's when He's strong. We're going to receive the supply of healing, that by the stripes, I'm already healed. We're going to receive the blessing of the Lord. We're going to receive the supply that God made to favor, protect our kids. We're going to receive the supply that He gave us for our families, for our homes. Receive. Receive. And I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. Maybe this little message has ministered to you. Let go, be still. No. Let go, be still. No. Let go, be still. No. Just you and God right now. Right now. We're going to partake of communion, but just you and God. Say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Speak to me. Ask the Lord, what are you saying to me? What is it that you need to let go of? What supply do you need to receive today? If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, if you don't know that if you was to die right now, that heaven would be your home, you can pray right where you're at. You can pray this prayer. This is the prayer of salvation. If you mean this from your heart, believe it, confess it. If you pray a simple little prayer along the lines of Jesus, I believe you died for me. Jesus, I believe you shed your blood for me. If you pray that right where you're seated, from your heart, I believe you died for me. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in your blood. I want to be a child of God. Just ask Him to save you. It's not hard. Just believe, receive salvation as a free gift. Maybe you are saved, maybe you receive salvation, but this little message ministered to you and you need to let go of some cares and worries. And right before we partake of communion, partake of the Lord's Supper, I want us all to agree and pray together. So if you've got some cares, worries, anxieties, stresses, some things you need to release and let go, and if you want to walk in rest as a statement of faith, I want you to slip up your hand. I want to let go. I want to let go. We're going to pray together. We're going to keep our hands lifted. This is an act of agreement. By faith, we're letting go. By faith, we're receiving the supply. By faith, we acknowledge that God is God. With your hands lifted high. Father, I pray for every single person in this room, every single person at the sound of my voice that'll be listening online or down the road or on any kind of media, I pray that the peace of God that passes all understanding would guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I pray that, Holy Spirit, that we would let go and release our cares to Elohim, the Almighty, everlasting Father, Son, Spirit. Father, I pray that every single person that acknowledges they need help from you, I pray that they would find the strength. I pray that they would find the grace. I pray that they would receive by grace through faith the supply that Jesus already gave them on Calvary. And now, Father, help us in our journey the next few weeks. May we come out of this stronger, wiser, at ease, at rest, and at peace as victorious children of God. And now, Father, as we examine our hearts, our souls, to receive communion this morning, take 30 seconds to think about what we're getting ready to do. We're getting ready to partake of communion. We're partaking of communion that represents the supply of Calvary. The body that was broken, the blood that was shed. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. So whatever supply, whatever need, whatever situation you're in, remember, it happened at Calvary. The supply came from Calvary. And we're partaking of communion right now, receiving the supply. We receive by grace through faith. We acknowledge what you've done for us, Jesus, upon the cross. Our sins are great. Our sins are many. In our own ability, we are unworthy to even partake of this communion. So therefore, Father, we're partaking by grace through what Jesus has done for us, declaring we're righteous through Jesus Christ. Forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us, Father. May we take this with thought and careful attention, in Jesus' name.